door. Everybody else, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we are beginning a new series for the month of February that is entitled Relationship Roundtable. Now, how many of you got an imagination? Anybody here got a bit of an imagination? Because I need your help this morning. I need you to look over here and just imagine that there's actually a round table on the stage. Because there's not one right now, but you just have to imagine it. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be thinking through the idea of how do we increase our ability to love. How many know that love is essential to experience one's purpose, to live one's purpose, and to experience the fullness of life? That to do it well, we actually have to learn how to love well. So part of my prayer for our church, I have three prayers that I pray over our church again and again. The first, that we might be that we would be a place where people would experience the presence and power of God. I want us to be a place as we come together, we experience God's presence. The second prayer is this, is that we might love well and live life to the full. And part of this idea of loving well is not only loving goodly, but loving in a healthy manner. How many know that you may love, but you may not always love in a healthy manner? And we need to learn to love in healthy manners. And really, this is kind of where we're going to kind of focus over the next few weeks. My third prayer is this, is that we might be a power that influences and impacts our community, country, and world for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. And so I pray that over Asbury Church, that we might be those three things. Well, this series, we are going to focus on this idea of how do we grow our love. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about increasing our capacity to love. We're going to talk about how to communicate better, how to manage conflict. Because how many know wherever there's relationship, there's conflict, right? How many here have had conflict lately? Don't raise your hands. But wherever there's people, there's going to be problems. And how do we work through conflict? And then not only that, how do we work together? And so we're going to look at some biblical principles for relationships and just how to help grow in all these different areas. And so today's area that we're going to kind of think around and talk around is this area of how do we grow our love. Now, how many have all received these little pieces of paper that have kind of like the notes on it, round table notes? If you need one, anybody need one still? Here, I'll give this back to you just in case. Does anybody need one of these? I don't know if... All right. So you'll notice there's a first question, and this is what I want everybody to do. If you have a pen, grab a pen. There should be one near you. If you need more pens, I'm sure we can find some more. But this is the question I want you to answer as we begin. You ready for the question? How do you define love? So as you think about this idea or this word of love, how do you define the word love? And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to get your sheet of paper and just begin to write down, how do you define love? So in your world, how do you define love? So just take a moment and write that down. And the reason I think this is important is because how many know we share vocabulary in life, but we don't always share definitions? Can I get a witness on this one? We share vocabulary, but we don't always share definitions. And as you think through, okay, so you've written down, how many of you, you're done writing down your definition of what love is? How many need more time? All right, so real quickly, so this is a feedback kind of message. So how many got your loud voice going on this morning? So as you think about your definition of love, what are some of the words that you use to define love? So real quickly, shout them out. Sacrifice. Care. When you define love, what else? Jeremiah. Love is like a slice of pizza. That's always a good one, right? Obedience. When you think about love, how do you define love? Any other words? Consideration. Someone said patience? Who said patience when it comes to love? Oh, it was a grandma. How many know patience isn't one of the things we usually run to, right? So I think about everybody has a definition of love. Sometimes our definitions, and as you think about your definition, this is the next question I want you to think that's kind of parallel or connected to your idea or your definition of what love And that is this question. From what do you derive your definition of what love is? What has influenced and what has shaped your definition of love? So everybody here has a definition of love, and so the question is what has shaped or influenced that definition? Now, for some of us, it will be the example that we saw growing up. How many of you grew up and you saw an example of what love is, and you're like, okay, that helped inform my definition of love? Not only that, there can be some of the things that happen in our culture and our world around us, and we hear things, because how many know we sing and talk a lot about love in our culture? How many know the best love songs are 1980s power ballads? Right? Those are the best love songs, right? Okay, you didn't agree with me, but that's okay. But some of you are like nodding. You know, but we get our definition from culture. We get our definition from all these different places. As followers of Jesus, we are called to get our definition or to understand and live our definition of love from Christ's example. That for you and for me, as we define love, because did you notice that Jesus had two great commands and both of them are love? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So you are called to love. And that love isn't just defined by the way the world lives it or the way we've seen manifest. It's actually our understanding of love flows from Christ's demonstration for us. As we think about love this morning, the idea that I want to kind of focus around, because what we're going to do in a few minutes is we're actually going to invite some people up for a panel. And just so you know, they've already been chosen, so just in case you're like going, oh no, don't pick me. Right, Neil? Neil's like, no, keep me off the stage, right? So what we do, we're going to have Rachel and Levita and Dwayne join, and we're going to have a conversation about love in a moment. But we're going to begin looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and in our discussion, this is what we're going to focus on, that our capacity to love impacts the strength of our relationships. Our capacity to love impacts the strength of our connections. And we're going to kind of think through some of the things from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through the beginning of 8. And we saw as during the offering, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8 on the screen. And we're going to read it again in a moment. But I love how Paul kind of structures this chapter, because he tells us three really important ideas about love. The first idea about love he tells us is that love needs to be our priority. That love is to be the priority. He says this, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. That means that if you're going through life and you're doing all these things and you're not doing it rooted and grounded in love, then all you're doing is just making noise. And he goes on because he's saying, guys, listen, in your life, loving like God loves, this idea of love is to be the highest thing. It is to be the priority for how we structure our lives. Then he'll go on to describe for us what are the practices of love. And we're going to look at that in a moment. And then the third thing he's going to note is not only the priority of love and the practices of love, but then he's going to help us understand the permanence of love. And that's where we get into this idea that love never fails, that love is something that doesn't end. It's something that goes on and on. So you get to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Do you know why love is the greatest of those three? The reason love is the greatest of the three is this, is that when Jesus comes back and we get to be in eternity with him and we get to see him face to face, how many know at that moment faith is not going to be needed because we're going to see him. Not only that, there's not going to be a need for hope because when we get to be with Jesus, our hope is made complete because we get to be in his presence forever. But while we are in eternity, though we may not need faith and hope, you know what's going to be manifest all around us? Love. You see, we need to understand that this love thing is a huge idea. And if we're going to live the life God's called us to, if we're going to experience the fullness of life, then what we have to do is we have to love. And so what I want to do is I want to look at 1 Corinthians. I just want to read it real quick just to refresh your thinking. Because we want to think about how does love manifest itself? How does love manifest itself? And so this is what it says. Love is patient. Everybody say patient. Oh my goodness, how many are like going, oh man, if this is the beginning of the list, I'm done, right? Like, oh man, I got issues, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Everybody say easily. I won't ask, but how many of you at moments sometimes you can be easily angered, right? It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So Paul is writing to the church and saying, guys, listen, as you're doing life in this, this life of following Jesus, this is the kind of love that needs to be manifest. And these are to be the practices. These are to be the skills. How many know that there are skills that we can develop so that we can love better in and through our lives? And so there's some things that need to be developed. And not only that, some things need to be developed and some things need to be removed. There are things that love does do and there are things that love doesn't do. Now, I want to kind of think about this idea as we get ready, because we're going to have a fun conversation about love. And that is this, is I want to talk about how do we increase our capacity to love. And so I got a little illustration that I'm going to show you here, right? So this is my little illustration. Now, this is what we know. How many know that God has called us to love? And how many know that because God has called us to do it, we can do it as his children? Did you know that? You can love the difficult people in your world. How many got difficult people? All right, how many know difficult people are hard to love? But you know why we can love? Is because it tells us this in Romans 5:5 that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that our ability to love others is possible because of God? That there is that our ability to love, that there is a supply that we get to tap into so that we can increase and we can abound in love, because love flows from God to his children and then through them. So we can love. And so the issue isn't whether there's a supply of love. The issue is this: do we have the capacity to keep loving? Right? And so I have this as an example kind of our lives. How many of our lives have lots of stuff in it that kind of influence and impact the way we love? Now, I want you to know that as we come to faith in Christ, he pours the Spirit out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we have a greater capacity to love. But our capacity is influenced sometimes by the stuff that's in our lives. Because how many know that, as he says, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. Sometimes in our hearts, there can be envy. And when there's envy in our hearts, it takes up space and limits the capacity, and so we have to work to remove some envy. Sometimes it's boasting or it can be pride that is in our hearts, and we have to work to pull that one out. And as we do this, you'll note what happens. The more we pull out that needs to be removed, what it does is it increases our capacity to receive the love that God has for us. And so we can go in here and it says, you know, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. How many here have moments where you're a little self-seeking and you got to like pull that thing out and it creates more space? It says it's not rude, and sometimes we can be rude. Ugh, found it. What I have found, the deeper you go, it takes a little more work to get some of that stuff out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it can be unforgiveness that we have to like kind of reach in there and we're like, okay, got to work unforgiveness out of my life. Sometimes we have some things that we do where we choose our way against God's way, and we get some sins on the inside, and that kind of robs our ability to love. But what happens is as we pull these things out, it actually increases the capacity so that we can experience, receive, and pour out more of his love. And so one of the ways to increase our capacity is there's stuff that has to be removed. But the other option is, the other thing that we can do is not only can it be that, you know, that you know, we're taking things out. We can also increase our capacity. Now, I can't make glass grow. Wouldn't it be amazing if I could make the glass, whoop, but so I'm just using this as an example, right? Sometimes what he can do is he can grow us, and in growing us, all of a sudden we have more room for God's love to be poured out into our hearts and through our lives. The reason I share this is because for all of us to grow, to become the people he wants us to be, we actually have to increase our capacity to love. And increasing that capacity means removing some things as well as growing some things. And so I want to invite Rachel and Dwayne and Levita to come on up. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk together around this. So this is going to be the conversational side of our message this morning. And we're just going to kind of think through some of these ideas. And I got questions for them. And maybe you have questions. And we're going to talk about, you know, how our definition gets shaped. We're going to talk about some of the obstacles and stuff like that. If there is something that you're like going, hey, got a question about this, we want your input. And so I have a phone number I'm going to put up on screen. I think we have the phone number, right? Okay, so there's a number that you can text during the service. All right, maybe there's a question that you have, like, hey, well, what about this? Go ahead, just text it, and I'll get on my phone, and then we'll kind of read through them. Or maybe you have a comment or something that you would like to add that's been beneficial to you. And again, the whole idea in this is for you to begin to participate in this idea of, okay, how do we grow our love? Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, so I got to pull my chair up. Everybody's got a microphone, maybe?
Yes.
All right, good. Oh, look at that. They're all ready to go. All right, so we're going to begin. Oh, so anyways, this is what we're kind of fun. So Rachel and I, we were talking about this yesterday. It was 32 years ago, last week sometime, maybe the week before, that we started dating. Okay? We've been married 30 years. And you know what? We haven't had a fight yet. That's why we're up here sharing about love. Yeah, she's been right every time, and so we figured that one out early, and it's just really good and good to go. Dwayne and Levita, how long have you guys been together, married? And
you answer that, yeah.
27 years this June. We got engaged 27 years ago last month. We started dating 27 and a half years ago.
Wow. There's something about January. How many of you, for you, love blossomed in January?
Evidently.
Elsie, you know, Rachel, you notice Rachel didn't raise her hand. So anyways, I'm just kidding. She was slow. She was slow on it.
I knew in September that I wanted to.
You knew in September.
Yes.
Oh, there's something about
it. Just took you till January to ask me out.
Yeah. I told my sister in November.
You told her in November?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, sometimes some things are slow, but they're worth waiting for.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Right, Dwayne? That's right. That's what I thought. All right. So as we kind of talk around this, we're going to ask some questions. And so the first question I want to kind of like talk around is this, simply the question, what has shaped or continues to shape your understanding of love? Right? So we all have this definition. So for you, what have been some of those moments or things that have shaped your understanding or your definition of love? And so we're going to kind of walk through the different ones. And so I'll let Rachel start. So if you want to just kind of begin this one,
sure.
Fire away.
Okay. So I would say what has built the foundation, I think, for all of us is our very first exposure to relationships, and that would be our moms and dads. Like, they kind of had modeled for us how to love and what that looks like, so we find it in our families. And that's our first way of knowing, what does love look like? And for some of us, we had really great examples of that growing up. And for some, it isn't. You learn a lot from those interactions. And I think when I was little, I saw my parents and I saw the relationships, and I was like, oh, I have a great family. They do it so well, right? And then we kind of grow up and we get married, and then we look back and we're like, okay, so maybe mom and dad didn't do it quite the best way. And so we start learning, and so it grows our capacity of how. And like we talked about in Dryden, when you get married too, we all have our own definition of what love looks like because it's been formed in us. And then we bump up against someone else who has their definition that comes from a different way of thinking of things. And so our two definitions bang into each other. And then we have to work out, well, what does that look like in our relationship now? And so it's constantly forming and changing because, and if we're willing to look at the way another person has their definition of love, then we can grow in our capacities that way. And so just the shaping of bumping into others causes us to form our definition of love.
Good. What about you, Levita?
So I think, I grew up in the church, so I'm going to give like the churchy answer. So one of the things that I remember just as a kid noticing is seeing how people respond. Like Rachel was saying, like we always think like, oh, our family's like so great. They've got it all together. And then you like, as you get older, you start going, oh, maybe we're not all quite so put together. But really seeing, I remember as a child noticing how people respond and seeing how they reacted in a situation. And I started noticing that those that were in church often reacted differently than those that weren't in church. And I was like, what is that? What is that difference? What is that? What is going on that they respond differently? Not perfectly, because we're not perfect, but the fact that they had love to give. And I saw a distinct difference in people that had a knowledge of God in their lives and how they were able to respond out of love when that didn't always happen with people that did not have an understanding of God.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's interesting. Our upbringing, whether it's family or our experiences in church or outside of church, shapes so much. What about you, Dwayne? What has shaped or continues to shape your understanding of love?
I think the recognition of who I am as a child of God and the fact that I am created in His image and everybody around me is created in His image. And so that shapes, as I understand that, His love for me, and okay, so I'm supposed to love people as He does, and being okay with the fact that, like Levita said, it's an imperfect love. And so I think the continued shape as I interact with my family and the people around me and saying, okay, am I loving this person the way God would love them, even though they're driving me crazy right now? You know, what is the best way to show them God's love, and recognizing, being okay with the fact that, okay, so I'm probably not always doing this the best, and just approaching it, okay, how can I do this better? How can I do this better? Being okay to ask that question, like, okay, I need to be continually shaped and grown in love, and and sometimes like, hey, I did really good that time, and using the examples of those around me as I see people interacting with, like, you know, I really like the way that they interact with each other. I really like the way this person just loves the waiters and waitresses as they're in restaurants. Man, they do a great job. Levita's granddad was amazing at that. He was always like one-on-one with the servers in the restaurants, showing them God's love. And I just remember that piece there. I was like, I want to be like that and show God's love in those situations. So.
Yeah, so I think as we talk about this, the idea that love actually gets shaped in our interactions, our connections, and sometimes it's not always easy. So sometimes it's difficult, sometimes we wrestle it out, and I know for all of us, our understanding of love has developed through time, where we may have thought one thing like, oh, I got this figured out, and then, or at least more so figured out, and then you're like going, oh my goodness, I don't have it figured out. When we went down the aisle, 30 years ago and change, I remember the expression of that I love you in that moment, but my idea of love today looks so different because of everything that we've been through. And part of this idea that this idea of love is this ongoing shaping, and it really flows from this dialogue with God and with other people. And sometimes it's our habit to withdraw from the difficulty, yet God uses that difficulty or that tension to actually shape us. So in your shaping, for each one of you, how has faith, I know, Levita, you began with the churchy answer. I'm just kidding, but that was fine. So how has faith in Jesus reshaped your understanding of love and increased your capacity to love? So I'll start with you, Levita. So for you, how has faith in Jesus reshaped your understanding of love? And yeah.
So I'm rethinking it because I can't remember what I said earlier, I don't want to take somebody's answer.
That's so okay. You just go.
I might be taking your answer. I think one of the things that really, there was a song that talked about like having God's eyes and seeing people through His eyes, and I think that's a huge piece of loving like Christ is seeing like Christ. Mm-hmm. And I remember a time when I had a student, and he's a kindergartner, they can't be that bad, but he was driving me crazy. And he was just like this out of control, okay, I was a young teacher. He was a little monster, and he was driving me crazy. And I remember I was in the grocery store, and here this little kid comes, and he's riding in his mom's cart. And he's just this sweet little kindergartner. And my vision changed because I saw him differently. And I think that is something that faith in Christ and learning to follow Jesus better is seeing people better and seeing them as the creation that God has made them with all of their faults and flaws, that they are truly, truly loved and worthy of love.
Yeah, awesome. What would you add, Dwayne?
How has my faith in Christ
reshaped your understanding of love?
I think that the word reshaped is, I've been in a conversation with some people and this last week, and they were talking about, is it possible to do good and love outside of Christ? And it was a fascinating conversation because as we went along, they're like, it is possible, but man, it's our relationship with God that helps us to see more than, like, to see the flaws and the things that are taking up the space in our lives. And so I think that my relationship with Christ has helped me to, as we say, increase the capacity to love, to recognize, hey, there are things, there's selfishness in there, there's things taking up that space. And so recognizing that the faith and the journey with Christ is exactly that. It's a journey. It's a Him growing and shaping and me being willing to take honest looks at myself constantly and saying, okay, how can I grow in this? Lord, how can I grow in this? I thought I was good at this, and how can I grow in this? Because He teaches us. It's like when Levita and I first got married and realizing what the important gift-giving holidays were. They weren't the same for me as they were for her. And then,
Easter.
Realizing
Easter is very important.
Was not a gift-giving holiday in my family. And so it is in Levita's household, and so it is in our family now. But recognizing that, God wants to grow us and allowing the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives and not fight against that.
Yeah, good. What about you, Rachel? How has faith in Jesus reshaped your understanding of love and increased your capacity?
Well, I think that our faith in Jesus, looking at His word and how it lays it out for us, and being willing, like you said, to let ourselves be humble enough to hear what God has to say to teach us about. And instead of thinking, well, I've got it all together, but to let myself be open to having God increase my capacity and take things out that need to, like what you were referring to in 1 Corinthians, where letting God evaluate and listening to His evaluation of who I am. And so when I read that scripture and it says, do not be rude, then I when I'm teaching with the kids, I always say for a way for them to think about the Holy Spirit and God's working in our lives is the cartoons where we see the angel on one side and the little devil on the other side, and how the Holy Spirit is that one whispering to us saying, this is the way, walk in it. And that when I come into a situation, the Holy Spirit will whisper to us and say, don't be rude. And are we going to be listening to that voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives and being able to help my, being humble enough to let God work in my life of when he says we need to work on this, letting him work on it and letting him remove the things in our hearts. Because sometimes we try and protect ourselves and not want to be vulnerable in that, but being humble enough to evaluating what we need to work on and let God work on that in us.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you know, part of it for me is always recognizing that God is actually at work in other people's lives and not just ours, that he's made us different. Aren't you grateful that God made us all different? And our differences, learning how do we begin to love differences? Like, I think that's one of the ways God has helped me is to note how people are different and can I love them as they are rather than what I expect them to be. And so Kurt just shot me a text and he's like, hey, we all have different love languages, right? And there's this need to seek to understand. And I think this is what faith in God does. It helps us to see people differently and to try and understand where people are at so that we can actually love them well. Because how many know that God loves every person no matter their issues? And if he can love them no matter their issues, why can't we? Because his Spirit is in us. Again, it's not a supply issue, it's a capacity issue. And part of it is seeking that understanding. So as you think about those these things that can get into our lives and kind of be capacity robbers, what do you see as some of the capacity robbers when it comes to loving people? Like, as you kind of like, whether it's your own lives or others, you know, what is it that people struggle with, or what are some of the things that are robbing people's capacity to love? And so we'll begin with you, Dwayne. What do you think? I know I put him first. This is always fun. So Dwayne is he's an internal processor, and he processes slow. And so I ask him first, and he's like, oh, shoot. and he goes through that whole phrasing. And so, but he's good at this. So you ready to do this, man?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Things that rob our capacity to love. I think that... how to word this? You know, I think of like in my own interactions with people, and I keep coming back to this, and it's just it's a huge thing for me personally. Is like this whole seeing people the image of God, and the fact that they're in the image of God, I'm in the image of God. God loves us all, and seeing them as a child of God, and helping them see. And we are often in such a rush and so individualistically focused that it's hard. We rob ourselves of seeing that. I was last week I was in BJ's shopping, as many of us do, and I was in a hurry, and which I love the self checkout for those moments. And so I'm going, and this guy is wanting to talk to me, and he was really working hard to talk to me because I was not making it easy. And, you know, because I was in a hurry. I wanted to go. I had things to, and it was cold, and I'm in a hurry. And all of a sudden, I was like, it just hit me, and I said, like, okay, no, this is important. And just, I took the time and just talked, and it was cool, because then yesterday, I was back in BJ's again, picking up the groceries, and I saw him again. And he just waved at me and was all excited to see me. And I just took a moment and like, hey. And I recognized that, you know, God gave me an opportunity to show his love to somebody. And I almost missed it. And now I have that opportunity when I go into BJ's and I can see the guy and just say hi. I have that peace, and I just about missed it.
Yeah. All right, so one of the capacity robbers is sometimes the busyness of our lives, the hurry, the hustle, all those things, and we're trying to do our own thing, that we can miss people along the way. Good. What about you, Levita?
I your comment on you can't grow the glass. So when I look at our capacity to love, I kind of envision it as like a water balloon that you can fill up, and it can expand as more love is poured in. And I think sometimes in our lives, our capacity to love can... our container gets brittle because we have some unresolved hurt or maybe some anger or some bitterness in our lives. And so instead of adding things in, which it's an and thing, we actually can't take in any more love because that bitterness has made us brittle, has made us hard, and our hearts are often considered the wellspring of love. And like as a visual, where our heart is a muscle, and the more it works, the stronger it gets. But when we are angry or we have unresolved hurt or this bitterness, we're not using that muscle. We're not growing our capacity because we're not exercising it. And love is something that if we don't exercise it, we start to shrivel. And I think we've all seen people where the hurts and cares of life have shriveled their capacity to love, have hardened that. And then it's hard to stretch that. It's painful, like a rubber band that is old. When you stretch it, it cracks. And I think that bitterness and the hurt and we can become that way, and we really have to ask God to soften our hearts.
Yeah, I like that, the bitter and the brittle thing, mm-hmm. that because of our hurts, and I think that's a huge one. What keeps people from loving is because we've been hurt. So in order to love, you have to be vulnerable. And in order to be vulnerable, or when you're vulnerable, you're open to be hurt. And so once you get hurt, the tendency is, I'm not going to experience that again, because who likes to be hurt? And so we put up walls and guards, and then it becomes something that just, we're just not going to flex beyond certain pains. And this is why I think forgiveness is so important in this whole thing on how do we deal with these things that just hinder our capacity to love. What about you, Rachel, as you think about capacity robbers? What do you see as some that just inhibits people from being able to love as they ought?
Well, I think one of the capacity robbers we have is, in this culture, is self-seeking. That we've been conditioned or told a lot that if it doesn't line up with what you want, you can just head out. And if it's not according to your definition, then you can form your own definition. And so I think it's all about self. Like, is this meeting my need? Is this, you know, are you coming to what my definition is? And I think, like, to be able to be open to what God's definition is of what love is and how we can line our lives up with that. And being open to, I think one of the hindrances is sometimes we do have our definition so strong of what it's supposed to look like and how people are supposed to be and our expectations of others, that when they don't reach up to our expectations, we get super frustrated and we get annoyed. And we're like, why don't you just do it the way that I told you to do it? Or, you know, and so then we can get super frustrated. And recognizing, like Kurt said, that there are different ways that people, you know, some people, the way that you get them is not that you get them, but their way of expressing love is by serving you through acts of service and or gift giving at Easter time. And then the different ways and the words of affirmation. And when we open ourselves up to the different ways in which we show love to people, then that increases our capacity to be able to love them well, and recognizing where they are at and how can I, instead of them always having to come to my team and my definition of what it's supposed to look like, but that we're working together to show the love. And we do that. As parents, we realize this, that every one of our kids is different, and we think we have it figured out with the first one, and then we get to the second one, and we're like, they're completely different, and I have to work that differently with them than the other. And so when we kind of pigeonhole it, that this is the way that love is, we limit ourselves, and we limit God's way of how he wants to grow us when we say it only has to be one way.
Yeah, so that's great. So we've heard a few different obstacles, right, to our capacity. So we have things like busyness, or sometimes our priorities are askew. Sometimes it's the bitterness. Sometimes it's expectations or the self-seeking side. So this is what I want you to do real quick. For you, as you look at your life, What for you is one of the obstacles that you face, that you recognize in your own life, that keeps you from loving well? Like, what is the capacity robber for your own life? And to write it down. And because I think that as we wrestle through this, it's not just about hearing what somebody else might say. It's like, okay, so what is it that I struggle with? Because we all have to grow our capacity. So as you do that, we just want to think about one more question, and then we're going to bring it to a close. So let me ask you this. What are some practical steps that have helped you increase your capacity to love? So we've got this, there's things that need to be removed, but what are some of the things that you can add, or some of the things, some practical steps that have helped you increase your capacity to love? And so I'll begin with you, Levita.
So really practical step. My grandfather always would talk about relationships. He was a counselor, he was a pastor. And he said, when you are encountering conflict, which life involves conflict, like if you breathe, it involves conflict. So part of that is being able to navigate conflict well and being able to recognize that you are both seeking clarity. Mm-hmm. And so a practical step is being able to understand that the person that you are engaging with isn't in competition with you. You're both seeking clarity and you're on the same side. And I know in parenting, sometimes Dwayne will look at me and be like, remember, we're on the same side. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We're a team. We're on the same side. You're on my side. And it's such a different shift, because when you go into something and you're dealing, maybe it's a difficult person, and if you look at them and realize that they're not doing it to hurt you, but you're both seeking clarity. Mm-hmm. It changes how you're looking at them, and instead of a competition, it's an ally.
Yeah. Awesome. Instead of a competition, you got an ally, mm-hmm. instead of an adversary, which I think is great, how you're framing it. That's great. What about you, Rachel?
I think for me, a practical step would be just really giving the Holy Spirit room to work in our lives. And I've shared this before, but so like when I think about the capacities and we have things in our lives that hinder us, the Lord has a tendency to give me a word for the year. And last year, the word was surrender. And when I told Dave in January of 2024, I said, oh no, I was like, God gave me the word surrender. And I was like, this is going to be a horrible year. This is going to be awful. And it really was a difficult year of having to surrender so many things that some might think, well, that's not a big deal that you surrendered. And but it would be just simple things like the Lord saying, okay, we can't do VBS the way that we thought we were going to do VBS, and surrendering my way of doing that. And continually throughout the year, it was surrendering my way to have it a different way. And we crescendoed it with me getting sick at Christmas time, and I couldn't do anything, and I had to surrender everything, and just the growth opportunity of it. And as I was going through last year of surrendering again and again and again, the Lord just kept reminding me, surrender, surrender, surrender your way. And as God tries to grow our capacity, sometimes he has one particular golf ball that he's trying to remove from your life, and letting him do that and surrendering it again and again. And in our growing of our capacity, when we do that, surrendering to the Holy Spirit of when we know that maybe there's a difficult person in our life that we are working out a relationship with, yielding that at the beginning of the day, knowing, okay, I'm going to encounter this person today, and this has been tough. Lord, give me grace to do that. I'm just a practical way of just letting the Holy Spirit work in our lives, and then listening to leading. And it sometimes seems abstract, but really the Holy Spirit working in our lives grows us, grows our capacity when we listen to the way he's leading us and following that direction.
Yeah, great, awesome. What about you, Dwayne?
I think one practical thing in my life I've tried to make use of, sometimes really well and sometimes not so well, but is the whole, if I'm in a situation where I'm like, okay, I'm having a hard time, loving this person right now, and whoever it may be, is, what am I not seeing that's going on? There's the whole, remember a poster. It wasn't a cat poster, but it was a poster. I was in college, somebody had it. It says, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And just like when I'm having those moments of having a hard time loving or understanding, it's like, okay, what am I missing? Is there something going on here that I need to be understanding? Yeah. And so that's been one that, like I said, sometimes, boy, I'm stellar at it. And then sometimes I fail oh so beautifully. So I fail stellarly. So just ask my kids. Occasionally I fail stellarly.
Sometimes you miss.
I miss right? Solid.
Yeah, and to go along with that, I think the question to be asking is, what am I assuming in the midst of this? Right? So this is what I know about humans. We don't just experience events, we interpret them. And so we experience what's going on around us and we create the story that goes with the events that we see. And sometimes that story is true and sometimes that story isn't quite so true. Does that make sense? And so part of it is, okay, so what am I assuming? And whether it's with our children, our spouse, the people we interact with, for me, growing my capacity has been, okay, God, help me to, like you said, understand, like, what might be going on? What assumptions am I making? Because I think what God really wants all of us to do is to grow our capacity to love. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to close, and as we get ready to close here, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to think about what step can you take this week to begin to grow your capacity? Like to grow your capacity to love. So we looked at, okay, so there's an area in all of our lives that we're like going, you know what, there's something that needs to be moved. There's a capacity robber that needs to be dealt with. What is that? But also, what is something that I can do to begin to increase my capacity? And it may be something as simple as you begin with your prayer with God, saying, okay, God, help me to love that difficult person that might be coming into my day. But what is it? Because I think that all of us need to get to the place where we can identify what is something that I can do. Because love is more than a feeling. Love is something that we begin to live. And I believe that God wants to increase our capacity to love one another. So just as we kind of like sum up and as we get ready to close here, our capacity to love impacts the strength of our connections. And we need to understand that our relationship with Jesus is to redefine our definition of love, how we define it, how we live it. Not only that, we have to be intentional about removing capacity robbers, and we have to be intentional about increasing our capacity. So as we get ready to close, one thing for next week. So next week, we're going to talk about communication. And this is the question that we'd love your input on just as we get ready to get all our stuff together for next week. What do you consider some of the greatest challenges in your world for communicating? What are some of the things that you wrestle with when it comes to communication? And would you take a moment just to put it on a communication card and drop it off for us? Because we would just love to hear from you, because we want to make sure that we're serving you. Because I'm convinced God wants us to grow our capacities to love. Love is at the center of what we do. We're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And for that to take place, we need to say, God, would you help grow our capacity to love? So as we get ready to close, would you just bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you're at work in our lives to help us love well. And God, I just ask that, Lord, even as we think about those areas in our life where we need your grace applied, Lord, I know that there are capacity killers, the things that come into our lives and just rob us from being the people that you're calling us to be. And God, we're asking that your grace would meet us in our weakness. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and good. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who pays the penalty for our sin. And not only that, empowers us with the Holy Spirit in order that we might love as you have. And so, God, would you help us? Lord, would you help us grow our capacity? Would you help us stretch? Lord, to help us to be responsive to the people around us, that, God, we might love well. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness, and I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you're up to something in our lives, and we continue to put our hope and our trust in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for our roundtable people? You guys did a great job. I want you to know we love you. So again, we're going to be doing this next week. I want to encourage you, come on back next week. If you know people that are kind of, you know, dealing with some relationship stuff, bring them with. If you have questions, send them to us, because we want to see God do great things in and through your lives. Hey, as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Go in his strength and his might. Hug a few necks on the way out, and we'll see you all soon. God bless.